She's a former Indian actress turned film producer and startup entrepreneur. She started her journey into films in 2007. After spending a significant number of years producing award-winning film content like Peddlers, Haramcore, and so much more, she won the Women Entrepreneur Quest Challenge hosted by the Department of Science and Technology, the Government of India, in 2017. Her aim now is to provide the country's youth with game-changing avenues that serve as a safe platform for art to thrive. Being an actor, film producer, and creator herself, she certainly understands the pulse of the creative community and the sentimental value of art and an artist's passion. And she went on to break stereotypes in the world of crypto to become the co-founder and VP of the WazirX NFT marketplace, which is one of India's most trusted NFT marketplaces. Yes, I am indeed talking about Vishakha Singh. I'm very grateful and honored that she has taken time out from an extremely busy schedule to speak to me today. Welcome to Let's Talk Music, Vishakha, and thank you so much once again.
Thank you so much, Sandhya, for the kind words, and look forward to having a great chat.
Perfect. Great. So I think I'd like to dive right in, if that's okay. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
To kind of set basics up, you know, you've had such a diverse career trajectory, right? Like being in the creative community to now being the VP of the NFT marketplace at WazirX. What has that journey been like? Would you like to tell us more about it?
Sure. Sandhya, honestly, you know, we really don't plan life. I mean, we think we've planned it all, but then life has its own plan for us. There's always a larger game plan, right? I did my advertising and public relations from the Indian Institute of Mass Comm, which is one of the most premier institutes in the country. Right. And, you know, ended up doing my internships and small odd jobs here and there as a young, person in the corporate world. So I worked with all sorts of PR agencies and ad agencies. But lo and behold, I ended up getting a lot of, offers to model for commercials and did a bit of acting here and there. So, none of it was planned, but I think life also prepares you for your journey ahead, which we are not aware of. So I think from my childhood, the fact that I was always into cultural activities, I was always planning a lot of cultural and literary activities in school, things boiling down to me picking up my graduation in business studies and majoring in marketing and then choosing advertising and public relations. All of this kind of prepped me for my role ahead. And I think when I did get acting offers, my experience in the school cultural activities helped me. As an actor, because I had the PR and communication background, it helped me forge deep relationships with the media. In fact, I have more friends in media than I have in the film industry. So I understand the importance of communication and communicating with your community. So that has been the common factor. And from there on, I think, again, a very, very intrinsic part of my nature is to just do what I like. I don't think of a large game plan or a long-term game plan, so to say. But if I decide that my heart is in a certain thing, I just go for it. And I think that's how the transition from acting to even producing films happened. Because when you're an actor, you are a puppet. And I enjoyed acting. But I also realized that to continue as an actor, you need to be consumed by acting. And I was never consumed by acting. I enjoyed creating. And I think that's how the shift to film production and producing films and, independent films happened. And when I co-produced a couple of films, then I produced my own independent film in 2020 called Atkan Chatkan, with which Mr. A.R. Rahman presented. And I'm very grateful for him. I think, prior to that, when I was co-producing these independent films with various partners in the industry, I kind of understood that each film is a project or a product. And the product roadmap or the execution plan generally remains the same. The fundamentals are same. And once you deep dive into the business side of things, your mind just opens up to a lot of opportunities. And I was also exposed to the external dynamics of the entire startup ecosystem. And I met my co-founder, Sandesh, and we started up with a couple of startup initiatives, and we made Iconic Bot, which was India's largest celebrity chatbot tool.
Yeah.
We worked with South Indian star Vijay on his film Mersal, and then Samantha's U-Turn, and Kamal Hassan's Vishwarupa, my own film Fukre, etc.
Right.
Did that. Built a SaaS tool from there in Toronto for influencers to, you know, manage their comments on Instagram. But then the pandemic hit us. And we then decided to move into the NFT space because this was a new medium for us to engage with the community. So it was a very natural progression and transition.
Yeah.
Of course, many challenges on the way. But I think the only thing that really helped me stand, you know, or basically transition into these various roles was my own ability to adapt. Yes, and I think that is the key hallmark of a creator, right? Or a creative person.
Yeah.
Adaptability.
That's so true, yeah. And that's fascinating because what you've created with WazirX is, I'm sure you're going to be like creating greater things and bigger things, but WazirX is amazing. It's incredible. Like, and I think it's probably the only marketplace that I've come across, and I've been reading up a lot about NFTs, which I've come across for India. And I was just like, you know, and now I understand the connection, like you being an artist yourself, a creator yourself. And like like I mentioned in your introduction, you know, providing that safe space for artists to thrive and looking at NFTs as an actual legit alternate source of income, not even alternate, it could be a mainstream of income as well. And I'm seriously, thank you for doing this, because I think it's about time, and most of the time India is like playing catch up with a lot of things. And I'm glad that we have an organization like WazirX leading the way in the NFT space for the artists.
Absolutely. Thank you for that, Sandhya, because, you know, again, I have to give credit where it's due. If it wasn't for Nischal Shetty supporting us, and honestly, a lot of credit goes to my co-founder Sandesh, because he is just a very inquisitive person. You know, he is your products person who wants to know how do we solve problems. And because we had been so deeply entrenched with the challenges that creators face, and because NFTs was a buzzword and our startup was in Toronto by then, you know, we were in the midst and the thick of things. And I remember I knew we had to find a solution, but the nitty-gritty of finding that solution, of actually building the product, rested with Sandesh, and he's done a fabulous job. So while, you know, both of us, of course, divide the responsibilities between us, but I have to say he is literally spearheading this entire movement. And he's this amazing person who will, you know, every week we sit down and he teaches me all the new things that are happening. And the good thing, I think, to my credit is that I pick up things very fast.
Yeah, evidently.
So I think that's how we've beautifully divided the tasks between us. And, you know, we feel really, really proud when we see the community grow, when we see hashtag WazirX NFT artist.
Yeah.
It's just a very proud moment for us.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. So now since we've anyway broached the topic and we are into it, I just wanted to go down to basics. Like a lot of people are still, you know, trying to understand what exactly an NFT is. And is it something that is related only to art and music, or is it a much broader topic? And what is its connection with cryptocurrency and blockchain? Would you mind like explaining that a bit?
Sure. So now we have to understand that blockchain is the underlying technology on which NFTs reside.
Right.
And there can be multiple applications that can be built on blockchain. Mm. And when we talk of Web 3.0 or metaverse, so to say, the building block for that is the blockchain. You know, in future, we are going to move towards everything being in Web 3.0.
Right.
Now, NFTs, so blockchain is the technology. Non-fungible tokens are just one of the applications of blockchain that is doing, you know, that's really doing very well. Now, with non-fungible tokens, again, they can be for sale and they can just be for publishing or authentication purpose on the blockchain. Now, let's first understand what is fungible, non-fungible.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that.
So, fungible is something that can be replicated, repeated, and non-fungible is something that's absolutely unique. So you, Sandhya, are absolutely unique, right? You can have a clone, you can have a twin, right? You can have an absolutely identical twin, you can have a clone that probably copies all your mannerisms, but your thinking process is what makes you, right? You are absolutely unique. You can't have that DNA or that thinking process mapped, absolutely identical, replicated, right? So you are absolutely non-fungible. I am non-fungible. But when we say NFTs, non-fungible tokens, it is nothing but a data file. Now, you know, people get scared like, oh my God, how do I create an NFT? It's some deep tech thing that you need to do. But it's it's nothing like that. You know, any content that you create on social media, right? So you, Sandhya, you'll probably go to the beach, click a picture and put it on social media.
Right.
Right. Now, you know that you have clicked the picture. You own the IP of that. So in layman's terms, the content that we create, and as long as we can prove the IP of that, we usually put it out on social media. If instead of the social media, you put it on blockchain, which means any platform that is built on blockchain, like WazirX NFT Marketplace, and there are other global platforms, this, you can actually put this content out for sale on blockchain. Sure, you can put the same content on another platform for sale, but that is not on blockchain. And hence, it's not a non-fungible token. On blockchain, when you put any content that you've created and you can prove the IP of that, for sale, it becomes a non-fungible token that's been put out there. And the buying and selling of this token or this digital file that, you know, are there happens with the help of a smart contract. And what is a smart contract? A very simple, you know, it's basically your buying and selling terms, you know, embedded in a code.
Correct.
At the back end.
And it's, you can't edit, you can't modify it, and it's controlled. It's encrypted to a certain extent.
It's encrypted, right. So then that's how it's safe, you know. Now, what happens is, so you have the non-fungible token, which is basically your asset that you're buying and selling on blockchain. And the transactions happen in cryptocurrency. At the back end. So as a user, just remember, it's only at the back end of it is where all the blockchain and the crypto and the smart contract mechanism is happening. On the front end, it's a very simple platform. It's a social media platform at the front end. So for the user, you know, they don't really need to get hassled about, oh my God, what is this thing that we're doing, you know, and we're getting into this rabbit hole of what's happening. It's very simple. And what was the other question you asked, Sandhya?
Basically about... So essentially from what you're saying, continuing off that connected question, was that you're purchasing NFTs, your ability to purchase is restricted to crypto, right? Like you can't purchase an NFT with regular money.
So you know what? There are a lot of platforms that are enabling this buying and selling in fiat currency as well. But because you have to understand the ethos of this entire system, right? Now, blockchain is a decentralized technology. It's based on decentralization, of power. Okay. Non-fungible token is ownership of your asset, which means and cutting down of on intermediaries. It is basically empowerment. So decentralization is when the power doesn't rest on any central authority. That's the ethos of blockchain. Empowerment of the artist or the owner of the asset is happening via crypto, via NFTs. And similarly with fiat currency, fiat currencies are not decentralized. They belong to a centralized authority. And that's the reason it goes a bit against the ethos of blockchain and Web 3.0. Why not have all the layers that are on the same level of and believe in decentralization? So the buying and selling can happen in fiat also. You know, and for nations like India, where we are still clarifying our regulatory positions around this thing, there are platforms that are coming up with this, but there are challenges to doing this in fiat, which we'll probably get to at a later point. But I think from the beauty of what we're trying to explain for creators is that if, for instance, you are a musician, you know, if you're a new musician who's composed music and you're going to various music labels and studios, etc., and requesting somebody to buy your music or your song or your album, it'll take you a long while to get your due or to get that meeting as well, right?
Correct, yeah, yeah.
But if you've composed the music and you put it on blockchain as an NFT, the chances of you making sale are much higher because A, it's a very niche community right now, full of early adopters and innovators.
Correct.
You make a faster sale. It's absolutely transparent. And once your collector who buys this NFT from you, in the primary market, decides to list it for sale again in the secondary market at a higher price. Say, so I'm going to maybe use the US dollar term, which is, say, assuming they buy a piece of music, a 30-second music tune for $100.
Okay.
and the collector sells it in the secondary market, say, for $500 now. So there's an immediate profit of $400. Yes. So the primary creator during the time of the first listing may have already listed their royalty, which is on our platform up to 15%.
Okay.
So now in the first sale, $100 sale is done to the collector. The collector then sells it in the secondary market for $500. The primary creator, the first time original creator of this music composition, gets 15% of that $500 also.
Of the $500, okay? not the profit of $400, right?
Of the, of the $500. Okay.
Okay.
And then similarly, so he or she has already got the first $100 in the primary market. In the secondary market, they get 15% of the $500. Then the secondary collector, who's probably now bought it for $500 and is now going to sell it to maybe, I don't know, $1,000. The primary creator still gets 15%
of that. 15% of the $1,000.
Yes. Absolutely. Along the, you know, the across the blockchain during all subsequent sales. And this is all traceable, trackable, authentic, transparent. And that's the beauty of it, you know. So you earn royalty, you know, first sales. And again, the beauty of this is when the musician goes in the physical world, the musician can sell the rights of his or her composition, tune, lyrics, whatever, without conflicting with the blockchain rights. They are free to do so. They're not surrendering those rights. And again, even the collectors on blockchain, when they've bought the music tune that we're talking of right now, they cannot download it and then sell it off to a music company because they have commercial rights of exploitation only on blockchain.
Great. Okay. I mean, this is opening up a whole bunch of questions which I had, actually.
Sure. So since you're legal, you have a legal background, now I'm scared.
No. I mean, I'm really curious because, you know, these are questions that I keep experiencing with people that I worked with as well, you know. So now since you're talking about NFTs, I mean, and specifically in the context of art and music specifically, if I had to like break it down and say, if you can give me an example of how an NFT in music specifically works, is it only through like a song, or how do you link an NFT in art and music? Is that possible? Is that something which has been done before? And I'm knowing very well that Ritviz and Nuclear, I mean, that was like the most publicized NFT drop, I think, in Indian music industry, at least in the last 2 years. So using that as an example, like, could you like, if it's possible to talk about it, it would be great if you could like walk us through that process of how an NFT works in the music space and how an artist can actually release an NFT in music. Is it limited to it? How do you release an album versus releasing like maybe stems of a particular song? You know, those kind of examples.
Sure. So now anything and everything can be an NFT. Okay. It could even be a code. Now, ideally, of course, we prefer that an NFT also has an aesthetic value.
Right.
And that's one of the primary reasons why art has been the base of NFTs so far. Music, of course, proved to be the second best in terms of consistency. And now a lot of these music NFTs are, you know, being released along with the aesthetic art element of it. Because, you know, every time you create any kind of music or you release a music album, you will always have the art or the creatives attached to it, right?
Correct.
So those can be NFTs. Your lyrics can be NFTs. Your tunes can be NFTs. As you said, yes, the stem files can also be NFTs. But you have to remember, on our platform, the file size that you can upload is 100 MB. Now, we've also had this amazing album called Somras on our platform. It's a 4-minute video.
Yeah.
And beautiful, NFT. And so that can also be, an entire song can be an NFT also.
Correct. Yeah.
You know, so it depends on how creative you can get with what you want to do.
Okay.
Yes. So very simple there.
So would you say that in the I mean, this is of course like my copyright lawyer brain working. I'm just thinking of it in terms of, so then does it technically amounts to a sync, right? Because I'm syncing my music to a piece of art and I'm releasing it as an NFT. So maybe I have a collaboration with an artist and I sync my song with his or her piece of art, and then you're releasing it as an NFT.
Yeah,
so
you can do that also.
Is there a sync license that works? Okay.
I don't know about the sync license because we usually leave it for the creators to sort it out between themselves. Understood. Yes. So, for instance, I remember Ritviz had dropped his NFTs, and Divine had also done it, and Shantanu Hazarika had done the artwork.
The art, right? Yeah, correct.
Yes. Yes. So it's a collaboration between two artists, and then you know, they come and drop the NFTs here. So whatever agreement has to be between them, and of course we have a split feature, you know, which these artists avail, where it is very clear that, you know, 50-50% or 10-90, 60-40, whatever that they decide amongst them, gets split. The revenue gets split accordingly between the two artists.
So what's the process like if I'm an artist who has existing work, and if I mean, and I'm saying as an artist, I mean a musician, and I want to sign up on the WazirX platform and I want to list NFTs. What is the process? I mean, what's the most simple process if you had to explain it?
So first and foremost, you need to get a creator referral from our existing creators, which means the community onboards you.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Okay.
Yes. Because initially, you know, ideally everybody should be allowed to drop NFTs, but you have to remember that there is a cost element, you know, attached for us as a platform for showcasing thousands and thousands of NFTs. And, you know, and if that was one, you know, the AWS cost can really go into hundreds of thousands of dollars otherwise. That's one. Two, you have to remember that the content that you put out there, be it music or anything else, the NFTs that you put out there at the end of the day are content, right? And we are working in the global south, and especially from the Indian point of view, we have to be very, very cognizant of the guidelines. Now, there are no such guidelines. So the only barometer for us are the OTT content guidelines that came
out. The intermediary ones, which is it's a different topic altogether.
It's a different topic altogether. But then you have to be very, so you need to figure out, okay, there is nothing out there. Where do we draw parallels from, and what should become our base to build on? So that's one of the reasons we initially did a lot of gatekeeping in terms of handpicking artists. I mean, we have a humongous wait list of artists, you know, who want to join.
I can imagine,
And we've only greenlisted about 3,000 and only 1,800 creators. Why? Because we had to ensure that our collectors' money is safeguarded. If they are investing in artists, these artists need to be legit. Because, you know, again, the beauty of blockchain or Web 3.0 is that it gives you the privilege of being anonymous.
Yeah.
But with being anonymous come a lot of challenges. There are no KYC processes in place.
Identity problems,
You know, So for us, and that was the reason we had to find a middle ground and do a bit of gatekeeping and, you know, do this in the initial phase. Now, of course, we know that our creators are legit. And now these creators, each of them is given, you know, three invites and then they onboard more creators. And that's how, you know, we're building the community. So first and foremost, you need to get a creator invite. And when you come to the platform, once you get the invite, when you come on the platform, you need to integrate your MetaMask wallet. All the tutorials are in place. You know, you just have to probably take out 20 minutes and study those and follow the instructions. Create a MetaMask wallet, ensure that your, you know, crypto is in place. All that is in place. And then just follow the instructions. That's it. And start dropping your NFTs. Once you've done your MetaMask, you know, I think the only challenge that people usually find is in terms of A, how do you convert your fiat into crypto?
Yeah.
Then transfer that into your MetaMask wallet.
Yeah.
And then how do you start minting? That's the only bit of challenge in the first phase. And I think more and more people are now finding it easy because these are also being made easy. Earlier, it used to be like a 9-step process. Now it's being cut down to 3 to 4 steps only.
Four steps.
As we move forward, the process is going to become less clunky.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, so that's great. I mean, and I like the fact that there is that whole, the exclusivity just makes it all so much more appealing, I guess. And I think the other question that I had was, I mean, so, like, if I had to buy an NFT, that's fine, right? There's no, I mean, is that an invite-only requirement?
No. So, we even have collector referral programs now where if you refer a collector, then you get a certain percentage of whatever the profits that they are making. But you are welcome to come and create your profile as a collector. Again, just, you know, connect your wallet and start buying. Yeah.
Great. And does WazirX work with any specific cryptos, or is it just basically through MetaMask, you said, right? So
MetaMask, but right now, currently, we transact in WRX, which is our native token, and BNB, which is the token for the Binance blockchain.
Understood. Great.
And we are introducing more tokens and currencies. We are also becoming multi-chain as well, which means apart from the Binance blockchain, we're introducing other blockchains as well.
Other blockchains as well. Great.
Yes.
So, I mean, that now brings me to a slightly dicey bit of how our regulatory landscape is. I mean, given that though they're talking about taxing, you know, profits from crypto, but crypto itself is still in the gray area in terms of legality. How do you think that, I mean, how does it affect, you know, creators? As in, does that really have an impact on creators?
So again, in India, in India, now you have to remember, when it comes to global platforms, our creators go and, you know, when they mint an NFT, it costs them a lot in terms of the gas fee that is attached. Now, the gas fee, which is basically the fee that you pay to miners for verifying the transaction on blockchain, on global platforms, especially like you know, on the Ethereum blockchain and others, can be anything from $100 to $200 to just drop an NFT, right?
Or,
Now, imagine from an Indian creator's perspective, that's a lot of money, 7,000 to 14,000 rupees. I mean, and imagine, especially an independent artist who is finding it difficult to make ends meet.
I swear, it's very expensive.
That's very tough. So, but when they come on the Binance blockchain, there is less congestion here. So our minting, our gas fee is anything between $1 to $2 maximum when you drop an NFT.
Okay.
Which is hardly a lot, anything.
Hardly anything, yeah.
Yeah, it's just 70 rupees to maybe 100, 140 rupees, you know. So that's one. Now, from Indian perspective, now, of course, globally, so what was happening was a lot of creators said, Indian creators were doing global NFT drops. They were like, great, now we pay NFT, we pay gas fees, we pay, you know, there's some percentage that gets cut for our transactions, you know, for MetaMask wallet, etc. Then, of course, now we've got the tax element. But from the Indian perspective, as long as you're on WazirX, gas fee is the least of your concern. From taxation perspective, you have to remember that NFTs as a stream of income or a source of revenue were non-existent earlier.
Yeah, correct.
Okay. That means 2 years ago, artists were not even making any sales via the blockchain or via NFTs, right? So we, and fortunately, 60% of the NFTs on our platforms have been sold out.
Wow.
And that's a good number simply because if you compare this to artists showcasing their work in art galleries.
Yeah.
In India, the success rate of artworks getting sold in art galleries is at 7%.
Wow.
Okay.
And 60%
globally, it is at about 32%. And on NFT marketplace, it's at 60%.
It's almost 10 times.
Yes. Yeah. So it's a healthy number. That's one. Two, you have to remember the gas fee is low. Three, you have to remember that these are early adopters and innovators who understand the risks involved. They don't need convincing. So we are saying, let's look at the glass as being half full. Even if you're making 100 rupees, let us pay 30 rupees to the government.
Yeah.
Okay. Simply because A, we will comply with law. Two is as the innovation, you know, develops further and grows further. And this becomes like a mass adoption, you know, a mass adoption of blockchain and NFTs happens in India. The government guidelines will also evolve further.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, and we will build with them, hopefully. And the government itself is also thinking of coming up with their own CBDC, which is great. You know, I'm hoping at some point we can incorporate that as well.
Yeah, I think once that comes into place, then it just gives it a certain kind of legitimacy and also, I think, security, right? Even for people who want to invest, look at it as a legitimate avenue for investment.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
Great. So that, I think, it kind of also answers my question on why NFTs are important. But I think how, if someone had to plan NFTs as like an actual alternate source of income, you're saying this is possible, right? With this, because at least the stats that you've represented basically 100% say that
in fact, can do it.
Yeah.
Yes, 100%, Sandhya. We have had so many artists who've written to us saying, just left my 9-to-5 job and have become a full-time NFT artist. We've had artists, you know, put pictures of, just bought an iPad for my mother with NFT money, bought a new laptop with NFT money.
That's crazy.
And that's crazy simply because, again, you have to remember, these NFT artists now have the potential to not just focus on their artwork and drop NFTs. They have
so much more.
Because see, now you have to remember that there's this entire NFT ecosystem, blockchain ecosystem, and these artists have become experts in this.
Yeah.
The latest trends that we've seen, two of the biggest trends we've seen, is that NFT artists have become collectors. So not only are they making money via making sales from their own artwork and the NFTs, they are investing in other artists and then reselling it in the secondary market and making profits. So they become smart investors.
That's
great. So gone are the days of the starving artists, the artists who only believes in creativity. Artists have become very smart marketers. They've become very, you know, finance savvy, and they become smart investors. That's one. Two, these artists are now educating newer artists in, you know, smaller cities and onboarding them, which is a community building exercise. Third thing is there are newer job avenues or opportunities that are opening up for these artists, such as community moderators. Discord and Twitter spaces are your biggest driving, you know, social media platforms that drive NFT sales.
Okay.
That require heavy management and interaction. Yes. So community moderators, designing project roadmaps. So not just one-on-one drops, but PFP projects like your, you know, Bode Yacht Clubs or CryptoPunks or Azuki Zen. So even designing these roadmaps. Now, a lot of brands are trying to enter this space. A lot of music labels are trying to enter this space. They all think, like, they have to remember that the marketing gimmicks that were used in Web 2.0 or marketing strategies that were used in Web 2.0 do not really fly well with Web 3.0. You need people who understand the Web 3.0 ecosystem, and who better than the NFT artists or NFT creators and collectors in the space. This is the talent pool they need to invest in. And that's why there's an I really feel that these NFT artists, apart from becoming smart investors, now will literally become NFT projects, you know, like startup founders in the future. So that'll be immense.
And I think that's going, in terms of, like, I think art and design is going to be everything when it comes to metaverse, right? Because it's all visual.
And absolutely.
So I think it's like, it's not the next big thing. It is the big thing, and it's going to be the big thing for a very, very long time.
100%. You know, because I think Sundhya, you said it right. It's going to be the thing, and it is happening now. Because for years, we had given a lot of importance to art being this beautiful thing that only the rich invested in.
Yeah.
This abstract thing that none of us could understand. And of course, there are great artists, right? And the vintage value attached to art increases the valuation. And art is a very sound investment. You know, it's a long-term investment. So when it came to artists, you know, digital artists, we really thought they were just meant to be doing presentation designs in corporates, which is not the case. And this is the moment why these digital artists are thriving and shining. And what a great moment for them now.
Exactly. I mean, I couldn't be happier, because I'm working as a, when I used to like work with independent artists, like both music and design, I've seen their struggle, and the struggle is real, because there's constant undercutting, and it's difficult for them to like, set a fee or ask what they think they're worth. You know, that this, I think, gives them the confidence to get over that
100%. 100%. I mean, I remember when a couple of artists actually thanked us for giving them a chance. And that was the first thing, because I have been an artist myself. I told them, I said, remember, nobody in life gives you a chance. You have talent. We have opportunity. And it's an exchange of energy. It's an exchange of, you know, something that we're doing together to build and grow together. So I think that's something that artists, and I think this is giving artists that confidence that, you know, nobody's really giving you a chance. You are worth something, and that's the reason people are betting on you.
Yeah, exactly. And that's phenomenal. I think that it just, because I've been seeing like friends who are artists and who, like, you know, independent artists, you know, like they work with any big design firm, and they've been making their sales, and it's just like there's a visible change in how they're even approaching life and overall like making plans for futures, and not saying
that's
that,
fantastic.
Are, I don't know if I did the right thing by quitting my 9-to-5 to do art, and that question is just gone now, which is great.
Right. And again, I mean, even the families no longer, I think, are asking now, you know, because earlier art wasn't really, or any kind of creative profession was not really a viable option.
Yeah. So that's phenomenal. I was just thinking of how, I mean, in the context of, I was explaining this to a friend the other day about how NFTs work. And I took the example of that movie Ready Player One. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, that's what the metaverse is going to be like. And the stuff that you buy as a character in the metaverse, anything which is like, you know, what you can see, and any art form, which is like linked with a song or like a dress that you're buying, which is like anything which is designed, those are all NFTs. And she was like mind blown. And she's like, oh my God, yeah, that's exactly what it is. And I was just like, yeah. since you mentioned record labels, I'm curious. So feel free to tell me that it might be like too much for you to like deal with or answer. But in terms of like how copyright would work for music, like if a label is, you know, a label, I can understand they own the masters, the actual sound recording, which is going to be used. But composers who, you know, have their composition being played, is there some kind of a relationship you foresee with copyright collecting organizations, like royalty collecting organizations, like maybe an IPRS or a publishing administrator like Songtrust? Have you come across that?
So not yet. I think a lot of people don't understand the potential of NFTs, and especially from the region where we function in currently.
Yeah.
I think artists and labels, of course, have you know, super smart lawyers like you for drafting their
I'm very anti-label, by the way.
Well, you know, so they already have started putting those terms and conditions in place, you know, in terms of adding NFT rights to what they're actually buying now. I think even creators have become very smart. Artists have also putting those terms and conditions in place, saying NFT rights is separate. I mean, I myself have started doing that in the films that I'm producing. I will be selling these films to studios or OTTs, and NFT rights would be a separate stream altogether.
Yeah, correct.
Yes. So, but yes, I do see them at some point, and I'm happy that we've had a lot of conversations with the legal teams of a lot of labels and these, new organizations that are coming up. And I think in a year from now, they're also just waiting for the government to basically to clarify more.
Yeah.
But they will start incorporating a lot of things from their perspective when it comes to NFTs. I always keep telling my script writer friends, you know, when they come with new scripts to me, I always tell them that you've already registered your script at the Script Writers Association.
Yeah.
I want you to publish that certificate as an NFT. Don't sell it, but at least authenticate it on blockchain so that I know that it's already registered in the metaverse as well.
I did not think of that. That's huge. So this applies. Exactly. Anything. So basically creators across the board.
Absolutely. So that's what I said, you know, NFTs need not always be for sale, because once you've put something on blockchain, it is there for perpetuity. You've authenticated it, and it's a historical record of what you've put out there. Yeah. Right. So, and for me as a producer, I mean, when somebody comes to me, I'm like, okay, get me that letter. And then they go and then they get their certificate out. I just have to go on blockchain and just check, okay, it's registered. Same thing with my property deeds. Now, this is not a creative field, but property deeds, imagine if they're authenticated on blockchain.
Yeah.
If I lose my certificate, I don't have to go looking around. It's there. The record is visible, you know.
Yeah. And can't be tampered with also.
Yes. So a lot of use cases out there. So I always tell people that NFTs, the use cases, we will see further and better use cases emerge. Mm. But blockchain is the technology to bet on.
Yes. I couldn't agree more. Like I've you know, piled up a lot of books. I've bought and kept all these books. And I try reading a chapter every day. And I feel like I'm back in school. But it's great because it's evolving every day. There's some new angle to it every day. There's so much that we have to mention today, which I know I'm going to like take some time to process. But I think now I'm like winding up and kind of coming down to what are your like tips and pointers for people who are interested in getting into NFTs? Anything that any material which you recommend reading up? What are the first few things to keep in mind? What would you advise?
So again, if you are an NFT creator, okay, and you want to get started, and especially if you're from India, I mean, globally, because I feel in the global West, the market is still quite evolved and mature.
If
you are from the Indian subcontinent region, first of all, do your homework. I'm sure all your artist friends are talking about it.
Yeah.
The first thing you need to do is A, watch some YouTube videos on what NFTs are. So that the first fear goes out, and you need to understand cryptocurrency in terms of how to buy crypto. That, you know, so that you know how to do the wallet integration, the conversion of fiat into crypto. So understand that. Download WazirX app. Yes, that's a shameless plug.
Go for it.
So yes, do that, you know, and download the Binance app and, you know, basically have the, you know, basically integrate the two. Convert your fiat currency, which is your rupees, into crypto. Keep that in your wallet. Download MetaMask. Please ensure that the MetaMask seed phrase is a Bible. You need to save it in some very safe place. If you lose it, you lose everything. Yes, there are no backups there. So understand fiat to crypto, understand MetaMask, download all of that. Then come to nft.wazirx.org. Okay. And if you want to become a creator, you need to get a referral. How do you do that? You need to basically attend our Twitter Spaces sessions. And primarily, if you can, you must join our Discord link. And where can you find it? You go to nft.wazirx.org. You'll find our Discord link. Just click on it and join the community and participate in the conversations. Because the best thing about this community is that if you're confused, there will be somebody in the conversations in Discord that is happening who will give you a referral link, who will tell you how to go about it. Yes, you can join our daily conversations with our moderators, and they will answer your questions, and you can get onboarded. If you find it difficult to become a creator, become a collector, and you don't need big monies to become a collector. You need something like 100 rupees. You can buy 50 rupees equivalent of, you know, WRX or BNB and actually invest in an artist and make somebody's day. And 2 weeks from now, you can sell that artwork for 200 rupees or 300 rupees and make a neat profit and have your free coffee. You know?
Nice. I'm going to do this, Vishakha. Thank you for this.
Please, Sandhya, let me know. We can get you onboarded, you know. And we, Sandhya, we are looking for more women participation. Crypto participation in India with women, where women is concerned, is at 15%. On the NFT side of things, we have 20% participation by female artists, but women collectors is only at 4%. And we really want to get this number up, you know.
Definitely. I'm going to champion this.
Fantastic. Hashtag Sandhya Surendran. Hashtag NFT woman collector.
Yeah. Hashtags for women. But that's great, because I do have a MetaMask account.
Fantastic.
Setting it up shouldn't be an issue at all. But I'll reach out to you offline for this. But,
fantastic.
I mean, I think it's a great space that we're in, because all of this, I mean, I look at it as the, you know, that the one of the few silver linings of this pandemic in the last 2 years, this has just exploded because everything just went online. So even people who weren't used to it have now like kind of convinced themselves that they need to understand it. So even like the old schoolers are like, okay, this is an actual legit option to like invest, and it looks like it's not going anywhere, so I better learn how to do it, which is great.
Yeah, I mean, look at this. My father is 75 years old and he wants to invest in crypto.
That's brilliant.
Which is amazing. You know, so I think we can see the potential of what NFTs are doing. You know?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's fantastic. I mean, I still have a long way to go there. I need to like convince my dad how to use Google Pay. So NFTs is going to be the next step.
But that's why we are, it's all early adopters. And see, I think our parents would be laggards. But the fact is that they have heard about NFTs and crypto. I have my school principal and my English teacher, you know, from school reaching out saying, we want to invest in crypto. How do we do this?
How nice.
And I think when grown-ups in the sense the seniors in the country are talking about crypto, I think they're doing the right job.
Exactly.
We're doing the right thing. Yes. The future is bright if even the seniors are talking about it. We've made the noise.
I know. That's great. But I mean, I cannot thank you enough for doing this, because, you know, this has been, like I said, it's been on my mind for such a long time. I've been wanting to do an episode on NFTs, and who best than get someone like you to like actually talk about it. So thank you once again. It's
thank you,
meant
Sandhya.
The
thank
world
you.
That you've been here. And if people wanted to reach out to the organization, to WazirX, to like, is there a link that they can follow?
Yes. So they can send an email to nft@wazirx.com. That's the best way to reach us, and our DMs are open on Twitter Spaces, which is again at WazirX NFT, and on Instagram also. Okay. And of course, our Discord is where everyone is active. The community, the moderators, my co-founder Sandesh is, I think he's, I don't think anybody knows Discord and NFTs in India or in the Global South more than him. So yes, okay. They're all there.
So definitely following all these handles, and I'll have all this information in the show notes as well. But once again, thank you so much, Vishakha. And it was lovely talking to you. And I hope everyone tuning in enjoyed this session and learned as much as I did. Till we meet again, thank you so much.
Thank you, Sandhya.